Newfoundlanders are a fishing people, made from salt air and the power of the North Atlantic. Fishing is in their blood. It's an important part of their heritage and their identity.
On the Herbig.
Same spot this morning.
Yeah. Any tide?
People have fished from the small outports of Newfoundland for hundreds of years, bringing in the cod, crab, and shrimp that feed people all across the globe. Fishing was a community endeavor, with men, women, and children all working to sustain themselves off of the bounty of the sea. The fishery belonged to everybody, and a lot of Newfoundlanders still remember the thrill of catching their first fish.
When I was 8 years old, I caught my first mud trout, and I remember seeing this guy on a little pond outside of Grand Falls where I grew up.
That's Kimberly Oren. She runs the Island Rooms, a nonprofit dedicated to traditional fishing practices.
And I kept bugging him, What are you doing? I'm fishing. What are you doing? Show me how to fish. So he said, go over there and get a stick. And I got a stick. It was an alder branch. And he said, pull off the little side branches. And I did. And he tied a string to it and a hook. And I caught a little mud trout. And so that was it. I was hooked.
Kimberly lives in Petty Harbor, Newfoundland, a small outport about 15 minutes outside of the province's capital in St. John's.
And back in the day, there were flakes and stages stretched down the center of the harbor. It was pretty amazing, the amount of wooden structures that were stretched down through the center of the harbor to dry fish, back before freezer technology came in the 50s and the 60s.
But those days are long gone.
And one of the things that people were all unified around was that the fishery was going to collapse.
That's Fred Windsor. He works for the Canadian Sierra Club and specializes in conservation and fisheries management. A while ago, I got a chance to talk to him about some of the challenges that the fishery has faced.
The people on the wharf were saying, no, it's going to collapse. The fish were getting smaller and smaller and fewer and fewer. And they, you know, they knew it was going to happen.
In 1992, the cod stock dropped dramatically, and the government of Newfoundland and Labrador called a moratorium on all cod fishing. The reasons for the cod moratorium are complex, too complex to really tackle in this piece. But one component has to do with the way that fishing has changed over the decades.
We were dragging the bottom of the ocean to the tune of 2.2 million nautical miles a year. And that went on from the 1940s right up until 1992. You just can't drag bottom trawl gear across the ocean floor for that many years and not have negative effects. And it's a wonder that anything survived at all, from my perspective.
But Petty Harbor's a little different. They're what is known as a protected fishing area.
And the fishing families here have maintained fishing for cod with a handline only. And that's a very sustainable way of fishing because you fish for one fish at a time. You don't leave any gear in the water when you go home after fishing, and they keep gill nets out.
Even though the way they fished was more sustainable, they still felt the effects of the moratorium.
Pre-moratorium, there were, I think, approximately 110 fishermen here, so it's gone down by half.
Today, fishing in Newfoundland is strictly regulated, with quotas and seasonal regulations. This has severely limited the everyday person's access to fishing. So today, this thing that used to be so vital to the identity of the island is confined to a few weekends a year. This has made spreading traditional fishing practices to the next generation hard.
You look around today, this is a beautiful day, and it's a Sunday, and there's no kids around the wharf. And when I was growing up in Newfoundland and Labrador, kids were around the wharf. We were just hanging around, taking a look at what was going on, helping to gut the fish, cut out tongues was the place the whole community gathered.
And this isn't just an issue in Petty Harbor. It affects communities all across the island.
So we live on an island in the middle of the North Atlantic, but we don't have youngsters learning how to handle boats.
So Kimberly has made it her mission to try and return some of these skills to kids in Newfoundland today.
So we're Fishing for Success. It's a nonprofit, and we incorporated in 2014, and our mission is to transmit the fishing heritage of Newfoundland and Labrador to our youth.
Fishing for Success has a couple of different programs. But when I met up with Kimberly back in October, I was really interested in a program that she had just started that focused on introducing Newfoundland girls to traditional fishing practices.
When I grew up as a youngster, women weren't really allowed on the boats. It was unlucky to bring a woman on the boat, and so that always made me a little crooked, you know, a little annoyed, and I always wanted to get in the boat.
Not my first fishing trip, you know.
She got one anyhow. Head of line squeaking? That's a good one. That's my little girl.
Until your heritage is accessible to everybody in your community, then it's not really everybody's heritage. So I just wanted to make sure women also felt that it was their heritage too, every part of it.
I had a chance to meet up with some of the girls back in October. The whole experience was still really new and exciting to them. And I got the feeling that it was fulfilling something for them that they felt had been missing.
Girls who fish except for nuggets because I can't catch anything.
You have caught stuff.
And so for them, it's really very meaningful because they have the stories in their families of their nans and pops fishing and making fish for a living. So we're recreating for them their family stories, and that is very deeply moving.
Kimberly has created a space for these girls to discover new things about themselves and an opportunity to reconnect with their heritage.
I'm just happy that I can feel so connected and in such a nice community. So yeah. I think that's really important. And to find other girls who like to fish as much as I do and to raise awareness about it. So
that's Arielle Shibish, one of the girls in the Girls Who Fish program. She's originally from St. John's and is studying marine biology at the local university.
I think it's really important to protect the fisheries and to know how to protect these fishing communities and their ecosystems.
And it's not just important from a sustainability context, but also for the future of the Newfoundland fishing industry.
And the average age of fishermen here in Petty Harbor is almost 60.
Really?
Yes. So if we're not talking about getting a youth interested in fishing or mentoring them in a few years' time, we're going to be talking about a food security issue.
So these girls in the program have the potential to determine the future of the fishery. And the hope is that they can take the sustainable fishing practices that they learn from Fishing for Success and make them more mainstream. Fred Windsor says that this is a step in the right direction for the fishery.
You know, when you look at something with hand lining, where you're basically fishing with a hand line and a hook, you know, people say, well, it's not that efficient. Well, it's not that efficient maybe in the short term, but in the long term, it's extremely efficient.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad.
And if it's going to be sustainable for the next 300 or 400 or 500 years, well, that's success. That's real success.
So back in October, I actually got a chance to go out handlining with Kimberly, her husband Leo, and Fred. It was the last day of the food fishery, and we all piled into Leo's boat and headed for a traditional fishing ground called the Harvey.
Oh, I say you're not supposed to whistle up a wind.
It was just before sunset. The usually strong Newfoundland wind had died down to a light breeze. The boat gently rocked beneath us as we dropped our lines into the water.
What are you, 20 fathoms of water here?
Should be 26 fathoms.
Fred dropped his line into the water and waited for the cod to start biting.
Yeah, it was a nibble.
I can remember the look of concentration that he had on his face, looking up at the sky but focused on everything going on 26 fathoms below, his line connecting him to it all.
Still, like Kimberly's, don't go up and down it.
Okay.
Right, just hold it. And you feel him? You feel him tugging on it, right? And then set the hook.
It was a really powerful experience, being out on a small boat moving in the water. I felt so connected to the ocean and the fishermen who had fished these grounds before me. I can only imagine how meaningful it must have been to someone whose family had actually worked these grounds for generations. We didn't have to wait long for the cod to start biting. Kimberly got a fish within the first 15 minutes of reaching the fishing ground. That squeaking sound you're hearing is the hand line being pulled in over the side of the boat.
My shorty. Short.
Well, when you got short arms, it takes a while to get them up from 25 fathoms, doesn't it?
26.
All right, 26, whatever.
According to Leo, you can tell you've got a good fish on the hook when it squeaks like that.
Look, just watch. Just watch. See?
Whoa! Get my fish in the boat.
Oh, that's huge. That one.
The cod was about 3 feet long. It was honestly the biggest fish that I've ever seen. And it ended up being the biggest fish that we caught that day.
So what were you saying about that first fish you caught, Leo?
Shut up.
Now that's a fish,
that
Rebecca.
Huge.
The thing I really love about this moment is that it shows what a woman is capable of doing in the fishery. Kimberly went from not even being allowed to set foot on a boat to a skilled fisherwoman. Now, she's helping to inspire the next generation of Newfoundland girls to follow in her footsteps.
That's a nice fish there,
that's
Rebecca.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it takes a woman to catch a fish like that, Rebecca.
I'm correspondent Rebecca Nolan, reporting from Petty Harbor, Newfoundland, where we've been learning about the Girls Who Fish program, a nonprofit dedicated to returning the heritage of Newfoundland and Labrador to the community's youth.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.